Adoration.
The Our Father at Mass.
Evening prayer.
Praying after receiving the Eucharist. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't made a conversion to the Catholic faith after that, I'm sorry.
We'll try harder next time. Yeah.
We just said four things. That just happened. The new evangelization.
Just do it.
You can't just say the new evangelization and make it so. No, but I said the new evangelization.
I said it.
TGIF, thank the good Lord it's Friday. Wow, welcome to the Beatitudes, a podcast for Christian men seeking to grow in holiness while learning from each other, from each other's journeys as we walk arm in arm to eternity with authentic fraternity. My name is Paul Kolker, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Jeff Scheffelbein.
Paul, are we sponsored by Lucid Private Office, or is it just me?
I think we are.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's all of us. I feel like a NASCAR every time I put on this hat.
Yeah, if you're not watching on YouTube or
vroom.
You're driving fast.
Yeah, yes.
Turning left.
Yeah, we need to get a full jacket for you and all that, too.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Look, I'll turn.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have a Lucid jacket. I'll turn like this for camera two, and I'll have all of our sponsors' patches on my back.
That's what we need.
Sponsor Jeff on the Beatitudes.
Yes, this is a different rate.
Anyways, my name's Jeff.
And Nicholas Besner.
That's me.
The greatest brows in the West. All right, and we are back for a fun bonus edition of the Beatitudes with none other than Evan Wollstonecraft. He is back in studio with us. We learned all about his fundraising, but we learned about it in reverse on the previous episode. So if you got through that episode, God bless you and thank you. And please subscribe because you're the kind of person we want sticking around with us.
That's right. And if somebody will watch it in reverse, tell us what that's like.
Yeah. Does it give you like a good recipe that involves turmeric or something? I don't know. But
That's right.
But yes, welcome back, Evan.
Hi.
There it is.
When he goes forward, less dynamic. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. So we want to get to know you on a more personal level now because we heard your kind of career journey through Focus and on to Major Gifts and fundraising with Amphil and all of that. But tell us about your life outside of work.
I am getting ready to celebrate here in just about a month. Our 9-year anniversary. So I've been married 9 years and we have four kids. The newest one just came on Easter.
Woo.
So just a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And
did you get a boy or a girl that one?
Got a girl. Oh, opened up the Easter egg and it was a girl. No,
yeah.
Our oldest is a boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Boy, then three girls.
Just the opposite of you, Jeff.
I mean, we're the exact opposite.
Yeah. You and me, that's what people say often, is we're the opposites of each other.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
I'm not very funny.
No.
Oh, no. That's what you're saying?
No,
oh,
we're talking about the number and order of kids because he said that.
I know. Oh, see, that was me trying to make a joke, Paul. And so it just reinforces that I'm not funny. No. So,
Paul's the king of yes and, but he was trying to help you by no explain.
Yeah, I was.
What's
the
opposite of yes and?
No, stop talking.
No,
No, I think it's no.
It's shut up.
No, but I think is the opposite of yes and.
Mm.
Okay, so you had another baby.
Yes, we had another baby, and the older kids have been very excited.
What are their ranges?
The oldest is 7, Andrew is 7, and then Claire is 5, Elizabeth is 3, Abigail is a newborn.
But they have good range.
Yeah.
And another way I could ask it, what are the ranges of excitement? Because you said they were all very excited.
The oldest one was very excited during pregnancy, especially.
Oh.
Just like that was a very exciting time for him. We knew it was a girl, so he was just very excited for just like they're, you know, just seeing like the baby kick in the womb and stuff was very unique and very cool for him. The other two, not so much. Now that she's here, the older one's kind of like, all right, I'm going to go throw rocks in the backyard. And the two girls now, like maternal instincts kick in, and now they're wanting to just sit and hold. And like rub the head.
Do you have
and all
to do
that?
Don't pick up Abigail, please. You don't understand neck to head ratios yet.
Oh yeah, we've had to set some very strong ground rules for them because I mean this one to get in her face and just going to be like they have baby dolls and like this is just a real life baby doll and that's what they do with their baby dolls. So why can't they do that with the new baby?
Don't you like when people are like, I'm not going to yell at my kids. Watch your kid pick up your baby with one arm and see what comes out of your mouth. you will come with brimstone. Yeah. Hey, how'd you meet your wife? Let's go back.
That was a focus connection. So she was a student when I was my first year missionary at University of North Texas. Missionaries do a first year dating fast. So I met her right away, but we're just kind of like, oh, cool. That's a nice gal.
Nice looking lady,
you know?
There.
And it's like, oh, fancy that. And then just on my way.
They say that if you do that dating fast, then it makes dating really fast. Because
it's true.
You set yourself up for like.
Well, so like we got to know each other just casually as friends, you know, just
for
the,
sure.
the way the Lord intended it. Yeah, we got to know each other at spaghetti dinners and you know, retreats and whatnot.
That's
just throughout
awesome.
The year. And so we got to just really grow in friendship. And then we went on a mission trip together and with a group of other people. And then that's where
at
we got to
of
know
year
each
two.
Other. at the end of year one.
Ah.
And so it was a spring break mission trip. And I just got to see her serving
so cool.
orphans in Haiti and babies that just never didn't know what love was. And she just unconditionally loved them. And I just knew in that moment I wanted someone like her to be my wife. I didn't know if it was going to be her, obviously, but I wanted someone exactly like her. And so that's when like I started like, oh, this is a potential. And then Focus reassigned me to Missouri. So, but we did the long distance and we dated fast and 7 months later got engaged and 7 months later got married. So it was a quick one.
Awesome.
Such a genius setup for dating. I mean, it's like get to know each other, but don't date.
Yeah.
Because then you can actually have like you can become a gentleman caller in the courting process.
Yes.
Excuse me, madam, sir. May I date your daughter?
Gentleman caller is not a negative thing, right? That's a
good
thing.
No, okay. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just more
a
of an
suitor.
Old, yeah. It's
a
an old, old-timey okay. way of describing it, but it's probably a way we should bring back.
There's a dandy gentleman here
with heritage clothing.
Exactly.
Yes.
There was no dowry involved, though, unfortunately.
Mm. Dang.
Yeah.
No major gift.
No cattle.
Yeah.
All right, y'all get married, and then if I'm doing my math here, you make it about 2 years before first bambino.
Yeah, we had a little bit of trouble at the beginning.
Yep.
Lost a baby early on, and so it just took a little bit of time just to get everything figured out. But once we did, it's been pretty smooth sailing since then.
Did that loss make you feel like set back, or you? I mean, how do you navigate that as the husband?
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing because we took the test. We knew she was pregnant, but I can't really tell a difference. I'm not really connecting and
sure.
bonding with this child like she is. And so my role was just really supporting her. It was pretty early on. It was 8 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And so we had just found out we were pregnant, and it was like 10 days later. We found out that she wasn't. And so it was more of just supporting her.
Mm-hmm.
My brain really hadn't been wrapped around that enough to really – get far enough down the road to even do all that stuff.
Sure.
She finds out she's pregnant. She's instantly planning, all the stuff of nursery and all that stuff. So, yeah, just more of a support role.
Have you told and will you tell the older ones about this? Like, how does that work when you're growing a family and you got these beautiful children? Like, when do they know about this other kid?
Yeah.
Sibling.
Baby Seton. We pray for baby Seton every night
name.
In night prayer.
Yeah.
And we actually have another, we lost one right before Abigail,
okay.
baby Jude.
Okay.
And they're both very early on, but our kids talk about them all the time.
Beautiful.
They ask us whether we think they're a boy or a girl. Do you think I'll meet baby Jude in heaven? What do you think baby Jude would have been like? Or, man, like Andrew thinks often about having an older sibling, baby Seton. So it's very much part of our family culture.
That's super cool. Good for you.
Yeah.
And I know that doesn't mean that people who aren't there or can't get there that there's anything wrong with their approach. Everybody deals with these things differently. But that's a cool way for people to kind of understand what's possible in a family, that you could have both loss and still the triumph and beauty of, these kids are real and they're part of your family. And,
Yeah. I'll kudos to my father-in-law, Briley, and her whole family. They lost a baby. I know it was 16 years ago because every year on Andrew Blaze's birthday, they still release balloons in his memory, and they have a scholarship foundation set up, or not foundation, but like kids graduating.
Fund.
Yeah, kids graduating from the local high school, they'll do an Andrew Blaze Memorial Scholarship, stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom lost my brother when I believe it was like 6 months. She was pregnant, and so stillbirth, and baby James was part of my family culture growing up. And so somewhere, someone along the line had said, give a name
that's right
every baby you have. And so we've just carried that on forward.
James would have been older or younger than you?
Younger. Okay. I've been my younger brother, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, so what parenting advice do you have for dads out there trying to do a good job with your four? What have you learned along the way that are your nuggets of wisdom, or don't do this because I messed it up?
The best advice I have is unfortunately advice that I can't really give to anyone else because it's just marry my wife. She's amazing.
Marry my wife.
Yes. She's made my life much easier, and she's amazing.
She's a big Beatitudes listener.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you threw it out there?
Yes. Shout out, honey. Yes. No, but I think that for our family, we've really looked at like three things that we've made like key components of trying to build strong family culture. And the first one is encountering classical literature. And I read out loud to my kids every night before bed from a chapter book. And so we've read through the Chronicles of Narnia. We're reading through a series called Redwall right now that I read when I was a kid.
Yeah. Redwall?
Redwall.
I don't know.
It's like a fantasy story, but with little animal, like woodland creatures and a fantasy kind of.
Write that down.
Yeah.
The kids would love it. They absolutely love it.
Yeah.
We're going to do, eventually we'll do like Little Women. We'll do The Secret Garden. I'm really excited for The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings to come up eventually. Yes, so that's something we do every night home. And
do you live stream this for my kids?
Not yet.
Okay.
The other thing we do is try to live by the liturgical calendar and really enter into the calendar the church has given us in the different seasons. And we've been doing that since our kids were little, but this year was the first year that we have a 7 and a 5. The older ones really embraced it.
Yeah.
And they were like holding mom and dad accountable to things because they just really loved, you know, during Lent, we did screen-free Lent. No TVs, no extra phones, no iPads, no nothing. And they didn't get a lot to begin with, but we just did this is our thing. So like, you know, I get off work and I'm still checking emails on my phone and Andrew's saying, Dad, a screen-free Lent. Oh, man, that hits, you know?
Yeah.
So just like living by the church is the calendar. So we celebrate all of our sacraments real big.
Yeah.
Birthdays are big, but so is baptism day. So is our son's going to make his first communion. We're going to have a huge party for him. And so just celebrating everything that, you know, making the faith fun.
Sweet. I like that whole, like, your kids, if they have a patron saint that they connect to, who's celebrating the feast day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We started following the Catholic all year.
Yeah, same.
They do such great stuff. We have one of those wall calendars that they all mark off that's all color-coded. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm, like, learning from this thing. I'm just looking at it.
Totally. Yeah.
And then it's like trying to make everything joyful or appropriate to the season. But my wife and I had the same kind of concept, like, let's live by this calendar and embrace every bit of it so that our kids have this foundation to remember, because they won't remember,
right?
You know, every random Tuesday, but they'll remember when we got to do, one of these feast days, she makes these little dunks that you monk, or that's not the right word.
Nope.
Monks that you dunk, like pretzel things and hot cross buns. I didn't even know the history of that. Like, amazing and delicious.
It's fun because you get to do things that are outside the norm, but still fun. Like, so we celebrate New Year's real big at the calendar New Year for the liturgical year, which is at the end, the beginning of Lent. So
shoot off fireworks everywhere.
No, we don't go that big, but
awesome.
We do like
you're
a huge
the front yard.
Yeah. I mean, eventually I think so. You know, they're not old enough to stay up till midnight yet, but when we get there, I mean, that's a tradition we've done is this is the New Year. Then when actual, you know, January 1st comes around, it's not that big of a deal because we've already done our New Year.
You're like, oh, it's Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Great.
Exactly.
Isn't that what it is?
I think so.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Nobody
Happy
knows.
Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And then the third thing that we have done in our to build our family culture is trying to make unique opportunities in our family for our kids to have these really strong memories. And so one of the things we do is my wife collects all the pictures from the whole year and makes a lookbook on that we print out. So the kids flip back they go through these books all the time.
My wife does that too.
On the end of the
year.
Yeah, they love that. And then the second thing we do is every Easter we record a video of our kids doing some kind of reenactment. So we've done like the Easter story. We've done the Stations of the Cross. This year we just did the Joyful Mysteries of the Rosary because the kids were super adamant that because we have a newborn baby, she can be baby Jesus, and we have a real baby, not a baby doll. So that's what we did this year is record that.
Love it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Man, kudos to you. You're blessing, I think, anybody listening to this with just inspiration to get involved. I think especially this, like, joy-filled, you know, focus in on the family. And, you know, you can take advantage of this no matter where you are. A single person who's running around in the wide open, crazy world can do the exact same thing. Live by a liturgical calendar. Make a big deal with their friends and their small groups. A married person without kids. Anybody in that pathway can embrace that and experience life differently and more vibrantly.
I think it's a great way. I've been having a lot of conversations with older men at my church who have children who've fallen away from the faith, grown adult children, and they have this, you know, sense of like, I don't know, they want their kids to come back, and they feel like they lost their opportunity. I'm always encouraging them, like, live liturgically with your grandkids.
Yep.
Make the faith so much fun that they don't want to miss insert feast day here or whatever holiday that the church is already going to celebrate. You just go big, invite them over, and that'll be a really core thing that eventually when they grow up, they want to learn more about, and why do you do this, grandma and grandpa? And so I think that there's a lot to be gained by living by the liturgical calendar.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Didn't want to be left out there. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do something that we do at work. Nick will break out at the end of a meeting, and he'll say like stuff like, say something positive, and he'll yell out protons or whatever.
Just nerd.
It's pretty funny. But on the spot, just something that you love about your Catholic faith that you experience, especially in community with your own family. Just, and you've kind of given us a couple of ideas here. I don't even have one yet, so I'm rambling for a second. But all, we're not going to say it on three. I'm going to point, and you're going to say what it is. So Nick looks like he's ready. And Nick.
Adoration.
The Our Father at Mass.
Evening prayer.
Praying after receiving the Eucharist. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't made a conversion to the Catholic faith after that, I'm sorry.
We'll try harder next time.
Yeah.
We just said four things. That just happened. The new evangelization.
Just do it. You can't just say the new evangelization and make it so. No, but I said the new evangelization.
I said it.
Where's all the conversions?
All right, my friend, we will see you throughout the rest of the liturgical year. May God continue to shine upon you and your family. And for the rest of you, we shall
see you in the Eucharist.
Be Catholic. I tried at the end.
The new evangelization.
A little much.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and two on your keyboard, @_Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.